Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Of course, hopefully, as you all know, the G-Bag Nation, as well as Sean and RJ, they're rocking things out in Oxnard for Dallas Cowboys training camp. Brought to you by the on-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. And one of the things G-Bag did yesterday, in addition to all the football content they brought us, they talked with Chris Young. And specifically, I want to go to cut number one, if we can. Now, he doesn't use the phrase in question until the very end of this answer. But I want to see if you guys have the same level of confidence in this Rangers team as currently constructed as Chris Young does.
Well, we'll continue to monitor the market as we always do. And it's our job as a front office to try to give this team the best chance to win. But I think most importantly, we feel really good about the group we have. We got Sam Haggerty back. We got Jock back. We'll be getting Jake Berger back. We'll get Chris Martin back. And then at some point, hopefully late August or September, the hope is to get Tyler Mahle back. That timeline's a little less certain. But those are all great additions to our team. And so I think I've said this before and I'll say it again, the best improvements that we can make to our team are to get the best out of our own guys and to keep them healthy. So we're, very happy with the way the homestand went. We're happy with where the team is. And, but we are going to continue to look for ways to improve it. But I have extreme confidence in the group we have.
Extreme confidence in the group we have. So I'm going to open it up to you guys. I'm going to open it up to discussion from the fan text 877-881-1053, Frankel injury attorney text line, or the Twitch or the YouTube. Would you say, and then we'll get into some of the rumors and everything like that, would you say that you have extreme confidence in this Rangers team?
Not everything. Like, I have extreme confidence in a couple of the pitchers. I'm not sure I have extreme confidence in the bullpen.
Okay.
But I have faith in the bullpen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The lineup, I feel at times, I have faith in them that they can, but not extreme confidence that it's always going to happen. But I do feel like this team as a team is about to go on a run. A, Chris Young has never wavered off that line.
True.
Like, he's said that all season long. And it's usually the last thing he says or the first thing he says. Listen, I have complete confidence that this group, blah, 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 blah.
And sometimes it looked foolish.
Yes. Yes. But he and Bochy understand 162 better than any of us. And the idea that over time, you got to let things play out. And they do, and they have, and that patience is something that we as fans don't have and don't have the time for,
right,
but also don't have the job either. So we don't have
sure.
that. But he also has to say that just in case nothing gets done. If nothing happens...
That's a really good point.
Guys, I told y'all all along, I've been saying this since day one. I have faith in everybody in this clubhouse right now. I've never wavered from that. So he has to keep throwing that in there while also giving the idea, and not just like, I don't think it's a veiled idea, that I might find somebody to add to this team because you deserve it. Man, when Brian Ray brought that to the table during the Stars run when they added Mikko Rantanen, that changed my mind on how GMs think. You guys worked your asses off for me to show me and prove to me that y'all can do this. Now let me give you a little extra incentive. Let me give a little shot in the arm. Let me give you a little juice to say this at the end here. Now you have something that proves that I think y'all are good enough. Now go do it with this person too, because this person's an elite closer or an elite bat or whatever it is the team needs. That's where I feel about that.
So I was crunching numbers on a couple of different players, but Alec, I want to kick it over to you real quick, and then we're going to focus in on one particular person that I know that the Fantex really wants us to discuss. Alec, do you have extreme confidence in this club?
Extreme confidence just isn't a term that I can use after what I saw in the proverbial first half of the season, but what I can say coming out of the All-Star break is cautious optimism.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to be working with for now, because unfortunately I have seen how bad it can be in this calendar season. So I know that they're capable of being a lot worse than they are now with the roster as is constructed. So especially if they stand pat at the deadline here, then the cautious optimism has to stay there. But because of the short-term changes that we've seen, seems like Josh Jung is being a lot less aggressive with the strike zone. It seems like he's being a lot more selective. So it feels like, even if it's just that one player as an example, some of the changes that they are seeking to make are working. They are actually working in theory. So that allows a cautious optimism for the rest of the season for me.
All right. So there's a couple of different things here, and this one kind of encapsulates some of it, and then we'll come back around to Jock Peterson from the 214. Replace Jock Peterson with a good bat. Spores will add depth to the bullpen. All right, let's start with the bullpen. There are rumblings, and take it for whatever you will. Trade deadline, by the way, Thursday. You'll get all the latest right here on 105.3 The Fan. That Ryan Helsley with the Cardinals and David Bednar with Pirates are two players that the Rangers are interested in. For Bednar, we have heard this a couple of times before in the past. At the very least, I believe it was last year or the year before. And
They've had interest in him before. Yeah.
And so he's been rumored a couple times. Now, what I was crunching numbers on was the money that they have left on their deal proportionately to the rest of the season. I promise we'll get through the math really quickly. The Rangers have waited long enough close to the deadline that now they can fit both of these salaries under the budget of the what they're looking for. So
that was the plan all along.
I mean, that does make sense.
Man, I wonder who the person would be that was thinking at that level. I mean,
enough to go to Princeton or something like
there
that.
There you go.
So Ryan Helsley, 1 year, $8.2 million. And the David Bednar, who theoretically would potentially be more expensive because he has one more year of arbitration, 1 year, $5.9 million. And you might be like, that's more money than we have to spend. But remember, those deals are prorated, so you would only have to take on the prorated version of their salary, which is just proportionate to whatever's left in the rest of the season. So one of those people could fit in the category that you're looking for without having to send anything out the door.
I just look back at Kirby Yates and how, you know, where he was and then how well he worked here.
For sure.
And that makes me think Bednar, that one right there. It's going to cost.
It is.
Right?
But
I mean, it's going to cost.
But it's going to, are you in a position? And that's why I asked if you have extreme confidence in this team. Because if it's a yes, then I think you feel significantly more confident with the cost of the prospects that make it happen.
Yeah, and that's where he's having that question to the scouting group, right? All right, if that's the case and they're asking for Sebastian Walcott, are you doing it? And if those scouts are going, we're that good of a team, then you can pull the trigger. You absolutely say, okay, well, this is the price they're asking. I'm going to try and fight them on this, but that's where it is. By the way, real quick, from the 817, Jung and Bochy are not as good as it gets in their positions. And I went to look and I said, Bochy's won 4 World Series.
Yeah.
The only people ahead of him coached in like the early 1900s. And then I came back and he said, they are as good. The not was a typo.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate that.
I'm okay riding with those two people for now. But
yeah.
Now, for Jock Peterson, We need to just make this really clear. When I say figure out Jock Peterson, I essentially mean figure out for him to not be in the lineup.
So you're done with him altogether?
I don't, for now. But
there's no other way to find out that you're ready to be back with him.
Okay, well, he's not ready. And we're going to talk about last night's game as a great example.
That's what I'm saying, though. If you're done with him for now, you're done with him for good.
But you can't. That's the issue. I don't see how you can do anything with him. He has a player option, which I would assume he would pick up since he's having one of the worst seasons in the history of baseball. And if you think I'm kidding about that, hold on. We'll get to that as well. He has been awful this year. And you can look at last night's game as a game that he played a part in losing for sure. So go ahead, Alec, if you can give me cut number two, because it was a struggle night offensively. And then cut number two, you got the break that you needed for this Rangers team.
Smith at third, Seager at second, Simeon at first. The two-strike pitch. Swing and a ball hit off the end of the bat, popped up into shallow right center. Campero coming into his right is there, and he's got it, and he trips and falls. And did he drop the ball? I think he dropped the ball. The throw comes home. A couple of Rangers have scored. Garcia goes to second. What in the world just happened to Gustavo Campero? He had that ball, tripped and fell and dropped it, and first base umpire Marvin Hudson said no catch. It's a tie ball game.
First off, what a hellaciously tremendous call that was.
Matt Hicks is brilliant.
Absolutely. Now, what happens after that? Jock Peterson is up there. He's got a 1-0 count. Fastball comes in. Like, that is supposed to be where he eats. 1-0 fastball right in the heart of the strike zone. Let's it go. All right. Two other pitches in the middle of the strike zone in play, he struck out. Then you go a couple innings later, it's 6-3. Jock Peterson comes up with two runs on. So he's the tying run. Didn't get anything in the middle of the zone like he did the previous at bat. And guess what? He ends up striking out again. Since he came back, just consider this, and I know people are going to be like, oh, it's two games. He's 0-for-8 and hasn't gotten the ball out of the infield.
There was his second at bat yesterday. He hit one hard. Great play by the first.
Yeah.
Like, I got to give the first baseman credit on that one.
And so,
but that doesn't detract from the other things that I've seen him swing at that I've been like, what were you even thinking,
dude? And we talked about this yesterday. I hate that he's batting number five. Look, you're right about Boach is great. Chris Young is great. They both have forgotten more about baseball than I'll ever know. But I hate the idea that he's at number five. And here is one of the reasons. Well, there's many reasons, but let's hit this one. Jock Peterson is hitting 123 for the season. He's got 130 at-bats. In the last 100 years of baseball, only four players have ever had at least 200 at-bats and averaged less than 150. Jock Peterson could raise his batting average 25 points and would still be below 150. And he would be the fifth player in baseball in the last 100 years to be this bad with this many plate appearances. When he came back, I did not see that as a needle mover whatsoever. But are you just going to sit him and his $18, $19 million on the bench?
You can't. And you're going to keep trying to push him out there and hope that what you sold to the owner, whenever you said, hey, I got to sign this guy to a contract. Now, either you signed him with the idea of, he's not really that good, but I need somebody.
Right.
And if you're not willing to give me the money to go get somebody good, then I have to get this guy at this price. So here's where we're stuck. Or, I mean, and then you look at the owner and you go, see, like, if you'd have just given me the money that I needed earlier, then I would have a better player for you.
See, and don't you think the owner's counter argument, if you, like, let's say you DFA'd him, because I know that's what people want. Don't forget, you're still going to be on the hook for that money because nobody's going to pick him up. Don't you think the owner's like, you're trying to get this extra money for me and you just let $38 million walk out the door? Get the hell out of here.
The thing, and somebody texted in and said the fact that he's hitting in front of Evan Carter in the lineup is criminal. And yeah, you could swap the lefties right there. But more importantly, your DH before he came back, not that it was dominating, but you felt like you were getting productive on base moments from some of those DH guys that you were putting in there. And I don't know how long you can go trying to either convince yourself, trying to give him the opportunity. I don't know when that window closes. And maybe we can ask Boach about that tomorrow. When does we talk about how long is baseball? Like how much more baseball do you have? When do you say there's not a lot of baseball left? And when does that window close for you've had your chances to prove it? Now we got to make something. We have to win games. Because if he's costing you winning games, which that at bat right there is kind of proof, he's costing you winning games, then that's a problem.
Now, ESPN put out an article of trades they would like to see. I want to specifically hit this one before we move on. The Orioles trade Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Laureano to the Rangers.
Rhino Shield.
No, not Rhino Shield O'Hearn. Although, we can give that a shot. Absolutely. And Ryan O'Hearn was interesting to me because the Rangers on the betting odds right now, if Ryan O'Hearn got moved, the Rangers are fifth in line for that. But the reason why that would make sense for a lot of folks is you have Ryan O'Hearn who can play first or DH, and then you have Laureano who can DH and start in the outfield against left-handed pitchers.
Okay.
And so these returns won't necessarily be cheap, but those are names to keep an eye on. So we talked about Helsley. We talked about Bednar. I want to throw in there O'Hearn, Laureano, and then one other person to just keep your eyes out on is Marcell Ozuna. That is another one that the Rangers are in the top 10 strictly of betting odds. So you've got the reporters and the betting odds. These are some of the people that they focus in on. But I have noticed that outside of Jock Peterson, there does seem to be a ton of positivity for these Rangers. And so the question was, do you have extreme confidence? It feels like a lot of our fan base says yes.
I'm getting there, man.